Joining me on the Closing Act Music and Entertainment Program is Maria Cara, a professional and dedicated voice and music teacher. With over two decades of experience, she has penned over 110 songs and has been consistently creating and teaching top-tier music. Maria is here today to talk about her professional music journey. Welcome, Maria. How are you?
I'm actually really nervous. This is the first time I've ever done anything like this, but I'm here.
I am thrilled to have you on the program, and what an incredible experience you have. And I'm just, it's time for the viewers and listeners to hear about your incredible professional music journey. So I'm so pleased to have you. And so tell us, when did your passion for music begin?
It started as soon as I could sing, which was about 3 or 4 years old, from what my parents told me. I used to always gravitate towards music stores. And whenever my mom would go shopping, she'd know that I would be in the music store for hours. Didn't need a babysitter.
So you've always had a passion, and you know, so music is incredible. It's a universal language. And so was there a pivotal moment, Maria, that you said, you know, I want to be professional voice and music teacher?
Actually, it developed from circumstance, because I got married young, had children very young, and just to feed the family, I gave music lessons. But luckily, I worked with some really great music stores, where the owners of the music store took me under their wing as a clerk and saw my gift of teaching. They gave me students, and I had the privilege of having access to all kinds of musical teaching methods, such as Royal Conservatory, Bastions, Alpha, Suzuki. There's so many. And being a clerk in the music store, I got to know the books really well, and I got to use all of them. So through the years, I have developed a really great teaching method.
It's just, you know, wonderful what you just said. You were in the record, you are a music, working in a music store rather, and you knew everything from the ground up. I mean, that is very educational, because, I mean, there's so much music out there, and I feel that music is never, it's used in different ways, like for running and then for, you know, relaxing. And I want to know, and tell our viewers and listeners, Maria, what is you enjoy most about being a music coach or teacher?
I really enjoy seeing people come in, not sure. Some people are like, am I too old? Am I too young? And watching them blossom right before my eyes, going from extremely terrified to going on stage and facing 30,000 people without even flinching. And it's just so rewarding for me to support them through their journey. I also love working with neurodivergent individuals, particularly children, because I just have this intuitive ability to see the world through their eyes, at least enough to reach their heart, where a lot of people don't really understand their world, but somehow I've been gifted with this ability to reach them.
Yes, and you have that experience. And you know, I have to ask you, you have a beautiful voice.
Thank you.
What instruments do you play? Because I see you have a lot of instruments in the background. So tell us.
I like to tell people, just I play piano, but the truth is I play a lot of instruments, such as percussion, drums, guitar, bass guitar, ukulele.
Wow.
They're all connected. And they're overdo it.
Yes. But no, it's just a beautiful, beautiful background. And tell us about some of the highlights, you know, as a, you know, professional musician to a music coach, you know, testimonials, highlights.
Okay. One of the highlights of my music career was in grade six. My teachers asked me to lead my own class with singing and dancing. And that's something that I didn't even know I could do. And it even led to having a choir of 30 children. We used to perform for the Children's Telethon Network and Cancer Relay for a Friend. There was this parade that we went into 1 year. There's so many little moments of surrealness where I've been in awe. One time I could recall is when I was performing for Cancer Relay for a Friend with my two friends, Bill and John. It was a trio. I don't know why people do this to me, but it was the last show of that night when everyone just lit the candle to go around the track. And they both left me on stage and they're like, okay, do your thing. And I'm like, oh, I have no idea what I'm going to do. But those things happen all the time when people ask me to just play. What happens when I do that is I feel so much love coming through me. And I feel this almost like an energy where so much positivity and love, light just flow through me out to people. And people feel it too. It's quite a phenomenon that I can explain.
Yes, yes. And Marie, you love being on stage because you're connecting with others, you know, for their soul or for enjoyment of music. But you're also, you know, you write your songs. I mean, if you can tell us, where do you get your inspiration to write? And is there a favorite place you like to do your writing?
Most of my songs that I've written actually happened with my acoustic guitar in the privacy of the house. And surprisingly, it just happens. Like once in a while, I could spit out three songs in one evening. Then a lot of the songs that I just spontaneously write on the piano, I'm not sure how my brain does it, but people have mentioned that they're masterpieces and that they're totally amazed how it just happens. But I believe that if I could share the way that I do this to other people, they'll realize that, I shouldn't say if, I should say when, because it's happened many times with my little students. Music is easy, at least I think so. And it doesn't have to be torture all the time to practice. The way that I developed as a musician is by following my heart and going with the flow. So once you tap into this concept called flow, then what's within you, backed up with, of course, technical exercises, hours of dedicated practice, allowing yourself to make mistakes, eventually you develop, this is my goal for my students, is for them to find their own unique musical artistic voice. I like to, since I sing and play a number of instruments. I like to combine not just one instrument for a student, but I give them the opportunity to have the full meal deal. So once in a while in a lesson, if the student has done all their homework and they have a really great attitude, and we have a little bit of time left, I do something called musical enrichment, and I point around to the room and I say, what would you like to have a little lesson about? And usually it's the drums. Lots of people choose the drums. I'm actually quite amazed how much a student can learn in such a short time. And with the right guidance, they're amazed too, because they're like, wow, I didn't know I could do that. And I'm like, yeah, I did.
Well, because what you do, you love what you do, and it makes, if I may say, students learn because you're so interested in them, and you know. But Maria, if I may ask you, do you have a favorite song, or is every song means different times? Or
I actually do have a favorite song. Do you want to know what it is?
Yes, or yours would love that.
It's actually a really sweet waltz. I guess it's a waltz. It's a 3/4 time, so called You, like Y-O-U by Tyler Brown Williams. The reason I love that song is because of its simplicity and the mixture of instruments, voice, creates this orchestrated, dreamy, yet authentic, it's, how can I say, it's like the beauty of the earth touching the heavens. So that's why I love it. But otherwise, it's really hard to say what my favorite song is, because there's so many genres that I love. But the reason I choose that one song is because it just touches my heart in such a profound, deep, deep way.
So yeah, so you play in bands, and you know, if people want to come and listen to you, and students who are interested in your services, you know, to take lessons, where can they go?
Oh, they can contact me on my email, which is mariacaraartist@gmail.com. We could schedule a free consultation over the phone. And right now I actually have a special where your first lesson is free. So I'd love to hear from you.
Yes. And Maria, and to come and watch you, like, I mean, if I may, like, the bands that you're in, where is there, because you're so booked right now, I understand.
Not really. Well, he's always been
But yeah, so is there anything else you'd like to add, Maria? What's next for you?
Oh, I just wanted to thank you and Lucas, Dr. Lucas, for introducing us.
Wash all the dirt away.
Joining me today on the Closing Act Music and Entertainment program is professional Canadian actor Evan Rain. Evan is also a writer and producer, and he's here today to talk about his latest role as Officer Don Gardner in the TV series Under the Bridge. Welcome, Evan, and thank you for joining me today.
Thank you for having me, Christine. It's good to be here.
Yes, but aside from that, I would like to also add to the viewers and listeners that you're a stage actor too. You're classically trained. You've been on Bard on the Beach, theater in Calgary. You've done so much stage work, which is awesome. And you've also guest star in the CBC TV series Heartland. For those who have seen the show, Heartland, and you started your passion, from my understanding, grade five, you had that you got the acting bug?
Yeah, that would be a good way to say it. Yeah, it was like, yeah, I mean, where I grew up, we were just talking about this before we started rolling, how we were, both you and I grew up on hobby farms. And so, yeah, that was my experience as a young kid. And so growing up in that kind of situation, that kind of environment, didn't have a lot of people to look up to in terms of, you know, the acting world. But I had one great teacher in grade five, Miss Annette Sharons, I think she had some drama experience. Maybe she was an actor as well at some point before she started teaching. But anyway, she led this drama workshop when we were in grade five. And it was my first experience kind of getting an opportunity to kind of take center stage in a way, just through this theater game that she was leading us through. And it was kind of the first moment where, I was able to just like dive in and got a great response from the class and caught the bug, you know.
So what does your teacher think of you now?
You know, I haven't spoken to her since grade five. I'm not even sure if she's still teaching. I actually ran into my grade six homeroom teacher last year. And that was the first time I'd seen her since elementary school. But my grade five teacher, I should try to reconnect with her because I mentioned her quite a few times, especially in settings like this where I'm chatting about how it all got started. So I think I owe her like a thank you, you know, because she was mental in those formative years.
Well, you know, like, I mean, do you come from a family of creatives, like actors, I should say? Like, why acting? Like, what was it that drew you? It's just, I mean, you talked a little bit about it, but I just like to, you know, the pivotal moments that I know this is for me, and you followed your dreams, and here you are.
Yeah, I mean, I think I owe a lot of credit to my siblings and my parents as well. But the family that I grew up in was not, you know, neither of my parents worked in the creative field. But all of my siblings, especially my older brothers growing up, I would look up to them. They would make movies with their friends, and just home movies, you know, just in the backyard and stuff with the video camera. And that was exciting to me. And I loved seeing that and started to do that myself. And I think it was probably had a lot to do with just wanting to be like Big Brother, you know, and trying to get a laugh or trying to impress my siblings.
Driven, so, yeah. Right? You were driven, and now here you are, and you're playing, like I said in the intro, the role as Officer Don Gardner in the TV series Under the Bridge. So tell us what made you decide to take the role?
To take this role specifically?
Yes, yes. Like how did you prepare for it? How did you, know about the role? And please tell our viewers and listeners.
Yeah, I think it was like almost like any other role, just came to me as an audition. Self-tape audition, and it often feels like, yeah, it's really hard to know what happens on the casting side of things, but yeah, I guess in my audition they saw the character, and I was lucky enough to get offered the role. So it was a no-brainer, of course, to accept it. Mm-hmm. It was a great opportunity. But in terms of preparing for the role, I never played a police officer before. So it did take, I spoke with the Vancouver Police Department, that they have a representative at their office who deal with situations like this where they've talked to actors before and even done ride-alongs. Mm-hmm. So I went there and chatted with VPD, just asked questions and to try to understand what's involved with the job.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was part of it. And then just all the other acting preparation that I do for any other role, just to really get familiar with the story, the given circumstances, and try to access my imagination to how I would respond as myself in those given circumstances.
Yes, and you've been like, you know, you studied the role, you've done your research, and this is your first time playing the police officer. And so how much work was involved though? Like, you know, like the process
of preparation?
Yes. You talked about a little bit about preparation, and thank you. But was it like, you know, 2 months to prepare, or how was it for you?
Well, it's a little bit of an interesting beast with episodic television because, mm-hmm. I mean, you get one script at a time. And with this role, I didn't know how many episodes I was going to be doing.
Yes.
I knew I was going to do the pilot, maybe the second episode. But it was the kind of thing where I'd find out from my agent, you know, a couple of weeks before, they're like, oh, you're pinned for the next episode. We'll see what happens. It all depends on what's happening with the writing.
Yeah.
If your character's written into the episode or not. So the preparation would start as soon as I found out that I was going to be in the next episode and then receiving a script. And then it was just a matter of getting familiar with the script.
Nice.
Trying to keep the story, you know, straight in my head based on what's already happened. The show, it does have some jumping back and forth in time as well. So I think being really organized and really clear about the story, especially since it's based on a true story too.
Yes.
So being familiar with the actual events and the actual setting as well.
Yeah, and Evan, it's a tragic story, and you know, and to do, you know, your part, your role, you put, you know, so much research, but also I like to go back, like I was saying, that you have so much, you know, stage acting and everything you've done, you know, in terms of acting. So it was transferable skills to get into the role and to study it and to do, you know, you're an incredible role. So that all that, you know, acting, you know, behind you helped.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it helps. Having a theater background definitely helps the physicality, I think. Not being afraid to use my body and my voice. But really finding the characters through walking it and through. I'm back in class right now, and I love how my acting teacher describes creating character. And he describes creating character based on the spine. Like if you look at anyone on the street, you can kind of tell right away based on how they hold themselves and how their spine is literally formed, what kind of character, what kind of person they are. And so, yeah, using little physical things like that is great for building character, and provides a great container when, you know, you go from your everyday life and need to switch into character. You have, little tips and tricks like that that help you kind of drop in.
No, that's wonderful, you know, and so who else is involved in the TV series?
Yeah, so Lily Gladstone plays one of the cops as well, and of course she was in Killers of the Flower Moon, and just had a ton of success with that movie rather. Riley Keough is in it as well. Daniel Dimer is in it. He's one of the guys I got to hang out with quite a bit, and it was just great. Like I can't say enough about how great the cast were. And then I have to mention, it's a whole ensemble cast. I loathe to mention them or to try to mention them all because I know I'll forget because there's so many of them. But the young cast of teenagers, young actors, I just have to mention how great they are. If you get a chance to watch the show, just watch the kids. They're so transformative in their performances and so committed. I think what makes the show great in a lot of ways.
No, that's great. And Evan, can you share, like, what has the feedback been like so far?
So far, so good. Yeah, I mean, I think the show has remained in the number one spot on Hulu since it's since the movie's back in April. So I think it's, it looks like it's being well received. Trying to think of what the, someone had mentioned what the tomato, but it's generally like really, really positive, I think. And then mm-hmm. I've had a couple, it was just released in Canada a few weeks ago. So people are just like catching up in Canada, and the people who have seen it mm-hmm. here in Canada, I've been hearing good stuff as well.
Oh, that's great. And it's a book by Rebecca Godfrey, correct? Based. Okay. So where can people go and watch it, Evan?
Yeah, so if you're in Canada, it's available on Disney Plus. In the US, it's on Hulu. Elsewhere in the world, I'm not sure where else it's been released in the world, but if you're in those two countries, that's the place to go.
Mm-hmm. But I'm sure, you know, you just have to Google it, you know, and look for it. But it's available. Yeah, it's available in Canada now for those who are watching and listening. And what is next for you?
Yeah, so I'm a bit, you know, as per the actor's life, I'm back to, you know, hunting down the next gig. I'm working on expanding into the U.S. To start working there. Yes. So, of course, there's a long visa process to get all that stuff in order. So just slowly chipping away at, taking that next big step. But, in terms of the next gig, yeah, it's to be determined.
Oh, that's great. You keep going and congratulations on everything, you know, and having your dreams come true, but a lot of hard work, right? Yeah. So, yes. So, and before we leave, Evan, is there anything else you'd like to add?
I don't think so. I mean, I just want to say thanks for having me, Christine. It's lovely to get to meet you and get to chat with you. And I just appreciate your time.